1, 2, 3, 4.
It's Cody and Chris today. We're here with Pete and Nisht. But no Ryan or Liz. But she got us some popcorn.
The Spoils of Akron, the Spoils of Akron podcast.
So, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Spoils of Akron podcast. My name is Cody Stanley, and I'm here with my co-host,
Chris Miller.
And this is a podcast about the art, the culture, and the eccentric residents of the Rubber City. How you doing, Chris?
Pretty good, Cody.
Yeah.
Today's a special day. You
Today
know why?
Is why is it special, Chris?
Because you and I are co-hosting for the first time.
It's our first time ever co-hosting together. We're really excited about it. And we're here with Pete Nisht. What's going on, Pete?
I'm feeling good, man. Happy to be here.
Good. We're glad to have you here. Yeah. So Pete is running for the Akron School Board, aren't you, Pete?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, one thing we like to ask all our guests about is why Akron? You know, I know you were born here, right, in Akron?
So I consider myself from Akron, but in truth, I am and I'm not. My parents were high school sweethearts at Firestone, so they met here a long, long time ago. My mom was from a long-time Akron family. My dad emigrated here from Germany in 1963, and that's kind of shortly thereafter he met my mom. So I've always kind of identified as being from Akron. I've always been told we're from Akron. I mean, I think that's what my family would say if you asked them. But my parents chose to raise me out in Medina County. I went to Highland, the Highland Public School District there. And then I came back for my undergraduate degree at the University of Akron 10 years ago, and I've been here ever since. And I think if I were to answer why we're here, I think that living here has allowed me to live a life rich in culture and diversity, and we love the people here. There's so much going on right here under the surface, and I think that, you know, when you have a love for, a lot of people love where they're from, but Akron's unique because there's so much good work to do here, and we're excited about diving in. So
yeah, for sure. I think we all agree with that.
Absolutely.
So you're running for Akron School Board.
Yes.
And what do you think are, you know, just to kind of get the ball rolling, what do you think are some of Akron's Akron Public Schools' largest obstacles moving forward? And you know, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I in kind of preparing to run, I went around, I asked teachers and students and administrators, you know, what they thought the biggest challenge was facing the Akron Public School District. And I thought they were going to say something like, you know, the charter school problem in the state or overtesting. And those are all certainly problems, so I don't mean to understate those. But I think that the biggest problem right now that the Akron Public Schools are facing is what I call a crisis of relevancy. What I mean by that is that students are being taught to take tests.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers are being forced to teach them to take tests. And if you're a teacher and you're only having to teach a student how to take a multiple choice exam, you're not very enthusiastic about it. I think it's hard to get the students engaged in what you're learning and what they're learning because they don't feel that it's relevant to what they're going to be doing after they graduate. In the same respect, if you're a student in the Akron Public Schools, you are probably having a difficult time attaching any sense of relevancy to what you're being taught because it's, you know, it may not have a lot to do with what you're actually going to be doing out in the real world. So I think that the biggest obstacle facing the Akron Public Schools right now is really teachers, administrators, the board, trying to find a way to work around the mandates that are coming from the state and federal government.
Okay.
To offer a relevant education that engages people in the community. Right.
So Pete, yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I went to Akron Public Schools. I was a graduate of Kenmore High School back in 1991, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they started introducing standardized tests at the very end of my high school year. And we were, you know, a career. They were taking practice tests and whatnot. But even before standardized tests, as students, we struggled with how does this apply to me, even with the old school curriculum as it were.
Right.
So I definitely see that challenge, and I hear from a lot of teachers who are friends of mine and colleagues and whatnot, and they express a lot of frustration about this. And are you familiar with blended learning by chance? Which is using more like project-based type of
yes.
learning technology.
Yes.
And I, just in my opinion, I see that as being kind of a valuable key to the future of the classroom.
So, I totally agree. So, I really think that you kill multiple birds with one stone, if I can use that expression for this. I think that, especially at a time when our population would be shrinking, but for the immigrant population, the influx of immigrants into the North Hill neighborhood and stuff like that, in the city of Akron. We need to be finding a way to engage, especially young people, with the community. The earlier the better, because they're the ones who have yet to determine where they're going to live, work, settle down, raise a family, eventually send their own kids to school. So we've got them here for a couple years while they're going to grade school. Maybe we have them for a couple more if they decide to go to college here. But after that, that's it. And I think that, so on top of offering a better, more relevant, more valuable education, by engaging them with these project and action-based learning opportunities out in the community, we're also inspiring them to stay here and make the city a better place. So I think we can do that a couple different ways. I was just actually interviewed by a guy named Aaron Epps on WAKR that aired on yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. Through a program called Center Talk that the Urban League sponsors. And he leads a program called Ice House. Have you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I know him. He's yeah. Ace Boogie also he's, is his, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Is his
right.
name.
Yeah, yeah. He's
Nom de Plume.
Right. No, he's awesome. And what they're doing is really incredible. I mean, they are engaging people who wouldn't normally ever have the opportunity with the process of entrepreneurial thinking, of creative thinking in a professional or business context. And I think they're blending arts and business, in there. So people are getting a lot of different things at the same time. And he's trying to plug it into the Akron Public Schools, and he hasn't had a lot of luck doing that yet. But that's something that we need to do. I mean, that's just one way to do this. But, I think it would be amazing to have a concerted effort from a member of the Board of Education to go out and engage the business community in championing a program that sought to offer internships to every junior and senior in the Akron Public Schools with a local business. You know, that can be something that's either a week-long program, a month-long program, a two-month, multi-month, multi-summer mm-hmm. thing. It doesn't really matter. The point of it is that we're getting people out in the community. We're getting them engaged with the local business. They're building confidence in a resume and skills and all that. But they're also getting face time with somebody who has the potential to become a mentor and a friend going forward. And I think that's an emotional connection that can't really be quantified. I think the arts, all this is kind of interwoven, but I think the arts are another perfect place to implement a philosophy like this. We can talk about Love the Wall, which is a project that we just did at the Downtown Akron Partnership, where we had 2 to 3 dozen Akron Public School students from the Inventors Hall School come out and help us just prime the retaining wall that we were going to install this mural on. And, that's... So they were not even getting into the color and the vibrancy of it. We're just painting it a gray thing so that we can go and install it. But, it was really amazing to get them out there working on this wall, taking some ownership in it, getting kind of an emotional connection with it, a memory, and it was even more amazing to sit down with them during it when we were on breaks and everything. I would try to take my phone out and sit down with a few of them at a time and say, look, this is what we're doing. This is what you're a part of, This is what we envision the final product being like, and it's kind of the images that you saw on the Kickstarter campaign there. But and they were like, their eyes lit up. It was really, really a cool experience. So, one of those experiences isn't going to make the difference between somebody staying or leaving when they graduate. It's not going to make the difference between somebody staying in high school and leaving high school. It could, but it's not likely, and I'm realistic about that. But I think that over time, if we're working this into curriculum as like an overarching policy that we want people plugged into the community, it's going to have a lasting impact. And it's something that we're lacking right now. I think, we have a lot of work to do there.
Sure. Yeah, I think you're right. As the most recently graduated person here, I went to Norton just a little bit down the street, and you hear all the time people are like, oh, I don't want to stay here in Akron. There's nothing around here or anything like that. And I think that these projects that you're talking about and things that doing like this Love the Wall, which I want to go back to for sure, but all these projects will help make people want to stay and make Akron what we want it to be for the future. So I'm really on board with that, and I think that's awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, we're really excited about it. And I think, you know, it's something that the community can take part of. You know, it's I think that we all have a vested interest in seeing the public school system function to the best of its ability. And, you know, we need that young, creative energy staying in Akron. We want those people here. We want them engaged and inspired. And so that's what we're trying to do.
For sure. Hey, so speaking of Love the Wall, why don't you tell us a little bit about that project? I heard about it a while back, but I don't really know a lot about it. And I know you were kind of a head person on getting that started, right?
Yeah. So we have, I will say it was done through the Downtown Akron Partnership Emerging Leaders Board, which I'm the president of now. I took over in July as president. So we did Love the Wall through a committee called My Akron, which is like a kind of a subcommittee of it. And My Akron, this is kind of the second iteration of it. So it started off as something that we wanted to try to find a way to get the community to, you know, take part in making some changes downtown. The scope, though, was limited to about $500 or less in terms of these projects. So we asked people to kind of get together and solicit it. We'd have an event. They'd get together and maybe present. Then we'd vote. And then the person that that won would get a little bit of money to help them kind of implement their project. The problem was the I think there was such a pent-up demand for these kind of transformational, larger scale projects.
Right.
So, you know, we would say a $500 or less budget, and somebody would send in something like, we need to revitalize the canal, or we need to, like, we need to put a LeBron James statue up on Main Street, or something like that, you know? So we saw a need there that I think we weren't meeting at the same time. Downtown Akron Partnership was in a unique position to help kind of facilitate these projects and in a way that maybe the idea people couldn't. So we kind of rewrote the model. We switched to a crowdfunding model because I think that opened up, it broadened the scale of projects that we could do. It still kept the community engagement component. So ultimately what we're trying to do is we're trying to provide opportunities for everyday people, everyday citizens of Akron to take part in making one transformational change downtown each year. So the first project, we knew we wanted to do a mural, and we were going for the largest impact that we could make. Mm-hmm. And we chose a retaining wall on South Broadway, so it's just north of the metro station, just south of the depot. It's on both sides of the street, so I should say it's a retaining wall, but it's two retaining walls. There's been a study there that showed that up to 10,000 cars pass that wall every day.
Wow.
And it's the main arterial route on the southern end of the city. So whether you're coming into work to play, you're going home, like if you live downtown like I do, mm-hmm. or whether you're even a parent who is coming to tour the University of Akron the first time with your kid because you're thinking about sending them to school there, you want to look at potential student housing options, you're going to pull up to the depot and you've got to pass this kind of ugly, gray, decrepit wall there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't lead itself to a very good first impression. So by doing this project, what we've done is we've shown people that there are people out there that care about that space. I hope we've shown the community that it's totally possible to do these large-scale public art projects that aren't really connected to any one business or anything like that. I mean, this is a purely community-focused project, and we were able to hit our goal. We raised $14,000, a little over $14,000.
Wow, that's awesome.
Congrats.
And, thanks, man.
Congratulations.
And it'll be done in a couple weeks.
Really, I was going to say, I saw some progress being done, and
Absolutely.
I think that is an awesome project.
Yeah.
So we didn't mention this early on in the podcast. We usually tell people where we are. So we're in Musica, upstairs. There's a band you might have heard of called Dinosaur Jr. They're setting up downstairs, so we could not go to our normal podcast area to record. So we're up in the pool table room, and there's a little bit of ventilation, so you can probably hear that. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, we like to focus a lot on the arts here because there's so much excitement around our arts community. And we have a band downstairs. And I'm led to believe, Pete, that you once graced that same Musica stage.
I did.
As a musician.
So it's kind of a... This neighborhood, especially Musica and what was once... It's now Urban Eats, but it was Mocha Maiden back in the day. That's kind of the reason why I'm here. That was my first emotional connection to the city, like the real emotional connection that, you know, only you can make for yourself. So,
oh, cool.
When I was 18, I started going to the University of Akron, and all I wanted to do was play music. So I kind of went to class and then I ran home real quick, and I would play guitar all night and go to sleep and come back to class. And Musica was like kind of the up and coming venue at that time. This is right around 2005, 2006. Okay. And I could not wait to play there. And I spent so much time here that eventually it became that kind of all of my whole circle of friends revolved around who was working here and playing here, who owned the place, who, you know, that kind of thing. So eventually I made it up there as well a couple times.
And I looked up some of your videos and they're really good.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I've tried to take, you know, it's funny. I've tried to take a lot down and I don't know why, but there's still some up there.
Why would you take them down? I mean, you should be proud of that.
I don't know. I am. Impressive. I mean, it's definitely part of who I am. You know, I spent a lot of time doing it and it's still, I sing every day. I don't know. I just kind of felt like the end of one chapter and the beginning of another.
Sure. Well, I think it's a sign of a well-rounded person and a person who can identify with the art scene here, you know.
Definitely. And those are people we need. We don't have a lot of those right now, you know.
I mean, it's made me who I am today. I mean, the music scene around here, the art scene, all the people in them, they've made me what I am today. So. And I'm serious about that. I mean, I love this place. That's why we live actually two floors above Three Point, right here on this block. So Blue Jazz is in the basement. so it's kind of, you know, it's our world.
That's awesome.
And I also want to thank you because last year, the media center where I work in Akronis, we ran a hashtag campaign with Downtown Akron Partnership, Better Akron 2015,
right,
people's
right.
New Year's wishes, and Pete and his wife, Ellen, were one of the first to submit things from the public. I was very appreciative of that. So,
No problem.
You guys are definitely engaged in the community. And before we move on to a different topic, I'd like to ask you how you think the arts scene has changed in Akron, even over the past 10 years or so.
Well, you know, so I was talking to somebody about this the other day. When I started school here, there was still this kind of, there were all these bumper stickers that said stuck in Ohio and stuck in Akron and stuff like that on people's cars. And people were kind of, you know, perpetually complaining about it in class. I don't hear that at all anymore. And I think so that's a huge change that's occurred over the past 10 years. I mean, like a paradigm shift in the thought of the entire community. Mm-hmm. I really don't hear that anymore. I think that the arts have had a huge part to play in that shift. Just because art is really a way for a community to wear its passion on its sleeve. I really believe that. So, you know, whether you are, whether you're playing in a band, whether you are exhibiting your works of art on the art walk, whether you are in drama, you know, there's so many different ways that you can kind of give back to your community and make it a better place just by doing what you do. And for those of us who are plugged in, I think we already understand this, but I think that it's kind of been brought onto the open in the past couple of years, and I think people are really starting to wake up to the fact that, you know, you don't have to rely on more traditional avenues if you want to get something done in the community. You can do amazing things, you know, with friends in your living room in the evening after work if you just have a great idea and the willpower to get it done. And so, you know, I think a lot of that is coming from the arts.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think everyone at this table has been touched by the arts tremendously. I mean, I would never be here without the arts. I mean, you know, Chris and Ryan, I don't think any of us would ever. We forgot to mention that Ryan's sitting here is running he's running the ones and twos today. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
Say hi, everybody.
Thanks, Ryan.
But yeah, I mean, the arts have such a huge impact, especially, I mean, I think it's just getting bigger and bigger right now in Akron, and you know, I wouldn't have it any other way for sure.
Well, we had so many, the city only had to hire so many coolness experts and consultants to tell us that the arts are a catalyst
right.
for economic development. You know, right. We see bigger cities like Austin and Portland and kind of getting around their arts community, and I think Akron's finally tuning into that.
Right.
You know, now we've got a new arts or a nonprofit that just launched, and a lot of funders are getting behind it. So I'm hoping this momentum carries forward. And you were talking about the Love the Wall project, and there are some other really cool public art projects. One has been finished, Land of Plenty.
Beautiful.
Their mural,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Local sculptor Michael Maris is installing a sculpted tree next to Hazel Tree Interiors. It is really exciting, you know. And we have public art here, but it's in thoroughfares that aren't really used as much anymore. So we had to sort of put art where people are, you know, the traffic's going on a more regular basis. So
bring it to Main Street.
Now, Pete is a well-rounded guy, okay? He's a good musician. He, you know, he's running for school board, but you're also an attorney.
I am an attorney.
And you studied at, here in Akron,
yep,
right?
I'm a three-time alum of the university, so I have an MBA and a law degree from there, which I finished at the end of 2013, if I'm remembering correctly. And,
So. And why did you pursue law?
You know, I think that's a good question. I wasn't sure that I wanted to practice law, but I kind of felt drawn to that kind of knowledge. I think that law makes you, no matter what you're going into, whether you're going into the arts, you know, if I had graduated from law school and gone out on the road with my music and lived in a stinky van with my friends and everything, I would have been a better musician because I had a law degree. I think that it helps you wherever you go. And I really wanted to find a way to affect positive change in my community. And I think while I was probably still sorting that out to some degree in law school, I knew it was going to help. And so I wanted to help people. You know, I wanted to make my community a better place. And I felt like wherever I went after law school, it was going to help me out.
Well, that's a very good answer to a good question for sure. So bouncing back to Love the Wall and those projects that the Downtown Akron Partnership has done, can you tell us a little bit more about the Downtown Akron Partnership and your position as president?
Yeah, so, do you want to know about Downtown Akron Partnership or the Emerging Leaders?
I'm more interested in Emerging Leaders,
okay.
For sure.
Okay, so Downtown Akron, I guess I'll start with Downtown Akron Partnership.
Yeah, lead into
so
it.
Downtown Akron Partnership exists to attract and retain people to the downtown neighborhood. So it's called, there's a special improvement district that has been set up in the city of Akron. And DAP is funded by a grant from the city, which is paid for by a tax that all the businesses and different entities pay in that special improvement district. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to make downtown a more vibrant, inviting place, you know, for people to live, work, and play on a regular basis through public art and public programming. So the Emerging Leaders exist. I think at some point, a couple of years ago, they realized that there was really a need for a YP arm to the organization, because I think millennials especially usually speak a different language. We think differently. We act differently. We like different things. We're attracted
for
by
sure.
different things.
Yeah.
So they wanted a YP arm to kind of come in and help implement DAP's vision. You know, with respect to people our age. So,
right.
So that's what we do. So I'm the new president as of July.
Congratulations.
So thanks, man. Thank
yeah,
you.
That's awesome.
And we're excited about it. I mean, we do a lot of awesome stuff. We do Downtown's Restaurant Week. We do My Akron Committee, which is what we do Love the Wall through and everything like that.
Okay.
But and we've got a couple other ones that we work on. But there's a lot of cool stuff that we do, and I think it really is valuable because there really isn't a YP group other than us that's geared towards attracting people to the downtown neighborhood. And one of my favorite things about the city, I'll say, is that we are a city of neighborhoods, and the neighborhoods are diverse. So whether you're talking about Kenmore or Firestone Park or Highland Square or downtown or Goodyear Heights, even, you know. Each neighborhood is really unique. Each neighborhood has a lot of character and history, but downtown really is the gateway to the rest of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So at least as far as I'm concerned, one of the reasons why I wanted to get involved with DAPEL was because I wanted to make the rest of the city accessible to people that might have missed it. So I think whether you're coming down here to work, whether it was Don Pasqualic at the time was bringing you downtown from Israel and you were touring the Global Business Accelerator,
yeah.
or something like that, or you know, you were a student who was touring the University of Akron thinking about coming here, you usually probably landed in downtown first. So we want to make that as vibrant and as accessible as possible to make sure that it makes a good first impression and people want to stay here.
And it definitely has improved.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, for one thing, I'm outnumbered because I'm Gen X and I'm here in a room full of millennials. So
it's all right.
So have mercy on me, guys. But you know, back when I was in high school and going into college, we would go downtown on the weekends, and there was very little here. I mean, it was
right.
college students and. You know, ladies of the night and a few derelicts running around here and there. And it was, It was nothing like it is now. Now it's cleaner. It seems to have more personality. There's more activity, more people. You know, DAP has their crew out, you know, right. most hours.
Absolutely.
So it's a whole different downtown than what I remember. So it is, I think, into a good place and right. going to better places.
And
so.
there's a lot of work to do still. I mean, there's sure. a lot of good work that's, you know, I keep telling people it's not rocket science. We just like, yeah. you know, think about what you'd want to see down there and we can do it. It's not a, it doesn't have to be like a giant process as long as you have, you know, the right leadership in place and mm-hmm. the willpower to do it and people who have the ideas, which we definitely do.
Right.
Even in this room. We can make it happen. So,
yeah. So how, you know, how does someone get involved with that program? Who do they, you know, what's the first step to try and get involved with DAP or the emerging leaders or anything like that?
Yeah. So we have, we've just kind of changed our board structure. So we have a 15 or 16 person board right now. Each year, I think there are some there's going to be some terms that wind up and we'll kind of put out application, like a call for applications and have people apply. And so if you follow Downtown Akron Partnership on Facebook, if you follow at Downtown Akron on Twitter, if you follow, I think even Downtown Akron Partnership Emerging Leaders have a Facebook, watch for that. And in, you know, every year, probably in the springtime, we'll have a call for applications.
Okay, cool.
And there, before, I'm sorry, Cody,
no, you're fine.
Got you
go
off,
ahead.
But there are a couple things I think we should mention that DAP is involved in that are kind of cool.
Yeah,
one is
sure.
the three pianos they've put in various spots downtown,
yeah.
one in Crave, one Cascade Plaza.
Absolutely.
We went to Luigi's the other day, and Ryan told me, I thought he was taking a picture of me, and he was taking a video. we posted this video
that.
On our
I
Facebook.
That.
I was like, oh my gosh,
that.
I couldn't believe it.
I saw it.
He made me look like an idiot.
Oh, it was great. And the other cool thing is the mobile stage that's going to mm-hmm. different spots in downtown Akron every Friday at lunchtime. So I really appreciate the work that DAP does in bringing that culture to the people,
yeah.
right? They're not expecting to even go somewhere. They're just bringing these things to you in public, and there's no mm-hmm. reason not to enjoy them. You know, the Commerce Center Park cleanup that
right.
happened last week, another,
right.
you know, just all those little things really add up.
Right. There was actually, you reminded me, I almost stopped and got out of my car when I was driving back over here from
mm-hmm.
work to do this, because there was a young man out on the piano, and he was shredding. He was awesome.
That's
was
so
like,
cool to see
he
that.
He could have had 1,000 people watching him. It would have been worth it. You know what I mean? He
uh-huh.
was, when he was out there alone, you know, it was awesome. That's
why, right?
That's
there.
What Downtown Akron
yeah,
Partnership is supposed to be doing. We're bringing that. We're wearing our passion on our sleeve when we have opportunities like that for people to sit down and just play the piano at lunchtime. You know what I mean? It's
right,
really cool.
I mean, it is really cool.
We could have another viral video like that homeless guy who walked up to
oh,
a
yeah.
public piano, and now he's people are funding him, and he's become, you know, he's kind of lifted himself out of his
mm-hmm.
you know state that he was in, and it's amazing what can happen with just a little public encounter
right.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
You never
right.
know.
Right.
That's really cool. Okay, so bouncing back to Pete running for school board. Pete, I got some information that you filed your petition to run for school board last Tuesday, is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yes.
And you filed with 730 signatures, right?
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
only need 300. That's amazing.
Well, so it's a lot of work to
I'm
get
sure,
that many
yeah.
signatures. The thing with the school board is it is, of at least Akron School Board, it requires more signatures to file than any else. So if you were going to run for state senate, for instance, you'd need 50 signatures. If you were going to run for, you know, Congress, maybe, I think that too is like 50 signatures. Don't quote me on that. But
yeah.
school board's 300. So in order to make sure that you have valid signatures, that is ones that, you know, people can read, the signatures have to look the same as they do on people's voter registration cards. So some people may decide that they want to sign their name with a middle initial or their middle name spelled out when they do that, and then they change their mind a week later, and they, you know, forthwith, the signatures looks different.
Uh-huh.
You got to kind of plan for some being thrown out, just for those just kind of with different reasons people can't read the addresses right and stuff like
okay.
that when they check them. So, but yeah, 730. I can't say for sure, but I think that that is probably the most anybody filed.
It sounds like a lot. I mean, everyone was really, you know, on Facebook, and I saw everybody's raving about Pete's 730 signatures. That's crazy. So how many do you think you got that you had to throw out?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
do you think, I mean, does that happen? Do you think
none,
that happens a lot?
I'll say none.
None. That's right.
Stock political answer. You have to be careful, and that's part of the process. And, you know, mm-hmm. anybody has to make sure that they've got enough
right.
plan for some mistakes.
Right.
You know,
for sure. Okay. So Pete, your grandparents immigrated here, right?
Right.
Right. So, and they from Germany, is right. that right? Cool. So as a first generation American, how do you think that kind of reflects your different or affects your perspective of Akron compared to, you know, something that we've been here, you know?
Absolutely. So my grandparents brought my dad and my aunt over in 1963. I think I said that a little bit earlier, so sorry if I'm doing record routine. They brought them here because they knew that unless they got out of a bad situation in Germany, the kids wouldn't have the chance to take advantage of a great public education. So essentially that means they came over here because Akron, Ohio offered them something that their own country couldn't. And I think that's really special. And I think in some cases maybe that's still happening, but certainly I think that a lot of people would argue that there, we have a lot of work to do to get back to a place where, you know, we are attracting people from far and wide, all different areas of the globe, you know, mm-hmm. to come to school here because you know, it's of that same kind of opportunity. So, you know, that decision to come over here influenced the way my father and my aunt were raised. Because they took advantage of the opportunity, I think it was hammered into them pretty hard mm-hmm. that they needed to take advantage of it. The investment that the city paid or made in them has paid dividends, not only in terms of the kinds of opportunities that they've been able to gather up for themselves, but also in terms of the kinds of opportunities that they were able to provide for their kids. So, for example, I got to go to a great public school. I'm a three-time University of Akron alum. I'm talking to you guys about running for office right now, and I think that's pretty good, and we want that opportunity to be accessible to as many people as possible, to all people. Mm-hmm. So, it's important to my parents, just as it was important to my grandparents, and it's now important to me. And I think that, you know, we need to understand that a lot of times I think when we talk about economic development, we think of that as the job of the city mm-hmm. alone. And that the school district is kind of off here somewhere else doing its own thing. They're supposed to be teaching people. I think that there needs to be more synergy there. I think that the two go hand in hand in trying to make the community better. I think the school system is a foundational asset. So, you know, in this whole economic development, community development, attraction, retention equation, if we don't get the school system right, we don't get anything right. So that's truly a foundational asset that we need to get right in order to build anything else on top of. So, you know, that's certainly like a cornerstone to my platform. It's a mm-hmm. cornerstone to why I'm here doing what I'm doing. You know, I take it really seriously. I think, you know, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, definitely.
I have a question,
yeah,
too,
go ahead.
Related to that. I've recently, you know, we're working on an article for The Akronist about skilled trades and how they're often overlooked in our culture.
Right.
Because there's a push to get every kid to go to college, and where if you don't go to college, you're not going to be a success. But we're missing this vibrant,
absolutely
middle class career move that could have a kid making $55,000, mm-hmm. you know, off right away.
Mm-hmm.
I know I graduated with a bachelor's degree. I made $9 an hour as a reporter of a newspaper, you know?
Yeah.
And so, there's, you know, what do you think about that? That synergy you talk about, cause we still have a lot of manufacturers here. We have a lot of machine shops, and they're not the machine shops of old. A lot of these are
right.
clean. They're technologically advanced. You know, people, you know, need to be educated to run these things, but there's still, I think, a misconception about factory jobs, about blue collar jobs. And I think it's driving people away from those fields when we should be driving them closer.
Right. I mean, right.
Tens
totally
of thousands agree. Of jobs are going to be developed over the next decade
right.
here in Akron.
So I think I'll answer in two parts. The first is that I think the messaging needs to change. I think we need to start, and maybe we, this is already happening, but I think we need to start talking about this like we're talking about it now, that these are actually opportunities, that they're good choices, that it's not a matter of which choice is better. Like, we're gonna go to college, you're gonna send as many people to college as possible, and the rest of you are gonna have to figure it out yourselves. I mean, that's a horrible, damaging, ugly, you know, unrealistic and untruthful way to talk and
Absolutely.
Think about these issues.
Yeah.
So I went over, I don't know if you remember in the Beacon Journal, this is the second part, I mean, I talked to you about project and action-based learning opportunities, and I don't just mean people who want to be accountants and lawyers and doctors. I'm talking about people who want to go into hospitality management, people who want to work, learn how to cook, people who want to work in restaurants, people who want to do auto body work and things like that. I don't know if you remember the article in the Beacon Journal a little while back about the state of Garfield High School, that these kids were essentially being forced to learn in a place where the ceilings were falling apart, mm-hmm. and just, it was just, you know, it's in really, really bad shape. And there was some questions about, you know, they rebuilt a lot of schools that probably didn't need it as badly as Garfield, and now we're having trouble getting the money to do what we need to do to Garfield. So it keeps getting put off.
Mm-hmm.
We were kind of struggling because that was right after I declared that I was running. And I read this article, and it's horrible. I mean, it's gut-wrenching and heartbreaking. And we were struggling for a way to respond to it. So I had a couple different responses typed up, and I was, you know, typing one out and erasing it, typing one out and erasing it. And finally, I was just like, you know what? I don't really feel like I understand this. I want to go check it out. So I got in touch with a woman who is actually PTA president over at Garfield. And she offered to have me come in and take a tour. So I thought she was going to give me the tour of the school, and of course no students are there because it's in the summer. This is like a month ago or something,
uh-huh.
Or a couple weeks ago. And but when I got there, she introduced me to a couple JROTC students who were there as part of their program. They were in the school during the summer. They had some community service hour requirements that they had to fulfill, and they were spending the summer painting the hallways and the lockers in this school, so that it was beautiful for their classmates when they returned after the summer, because they were having trouble getting the work done, you know, any other way.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I'm not going to give you the tour. I wanted you to see what these kids are doing, and now they're going to give you the tour. So they took me around the school, and I got to tell you, you know, I went to a public school that I thought was really great.
Mm-hmm.
There were no in-school opportunities for any of this kind of project action-based, real-world classroom or a quasi-classroom experience, you know what I mean? They have an auto body shop over there where you can take your car right now. If your car gets bashed up, if you have a fender bender, you can take it and students will work on it and fix it for you. They have a student-run restaurant in there. They have an engineering academy in there. They have a pre-engineering academy or a lab. They have a pre-business lab. They have a cosmetology lab. They have a lot of stuff going on top of just the the regular coursework that mm-hmm. students would have to take, you know, in order to pass the tests that the federal and state governments want them to take. So that's awesome. They actually have to declare a major and take some of those real world courses before they graduate. I totally think that is a great opportunity, and it's something that I think that it exists to some degree in each mm-hmm. of the different schools, but it's kind of chopped up. It's certainly not, you know, it depends on where you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we have that kind of messaging about Garfield in the newspaper, we're not focusing on the fact that Garfield has a lot of the stuff that I kind of think is pretty progressive in terms of how we're educating people,
well,
what kind
sure.
of opportunities that we're giving them in high school. I mean, at least to me, because I didn't have those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to go into like a pre-engineering or a pre-business lab and take a class or, like, you know, I don't know, even learn how to run a restaurant. I mean, there's students that are running to this restaurant every day during high school. So, you know, I think we need to work those opportunities in. And I think I would have loved to have had them say, okay, the school is in such bad shape. This is, you know, it's a shame, not just because these students are having to deal with it, but it's also a shame because look at what kind of opportunities the school is actually still providing people. These kids care about it so much that they're there during the summer painting the hallways
mm-hmm.
and getting rid of the pencil marks and stuff like that and making it bright, and, you know, they're filling in their school colors where these walls have kind of grown pale from the sun and everything. I mean, it was really powerful. It was inspiring, and it was heartbreaking at the same time. But, you know, that is the missing piece of that story. So you know, I kind of went full circle there. I think the messaging has to change. I think we need to talk about this differently. I also think we need to be excited about offering these opportunities to people, and we need to offer them more opportunities. You know, I would love to try to get a program started where we plug people into the community so that not only were they doing that stuff in school, but they were getting other opportunities out with local businesses. They were meeting people, entrepreneurs, you know, even the Ice House program where we're just taking people, I think, Ace will tell you, you know, he'll explain it a lot better than I will, but he's taking people and saying, okay, let's get the creative juices flowing. What do you like to do? What do you want to do? What do you see a need? Okay, you're interested. You want to open a barber shop, or you want to open an auto body shop, or maybe you want to open a coffee shop. Okay, so what's different about this? How do we evaluate, you know, what the demand is in the market, whether it's saturated, whether you've found a niche, you know, how can you find a niche to work it in? And, you know, they do everything from teaching people how to work Microsoft Office suite of programs to, you know, how to write a business plan, how to raise money, how to talk to people, how to incorporate, you know, how to form an LLC or whatever it is that they need. There are so many opportunities to give people that real world connection. So if you're not going to go to college, and most people don't in this country, if you're not going to go to college, you should know that it's totally an okay and actually amazing, awesome option to think that you could start a business one day, or that, you know, you could go into a trade.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, a lot of what you're talking about plugs into your other idea about doing internships and externships and, you know, plugging these people into the city of Akron to get them to want to stay and want to, you know, do all those things, become a mechanic in Akron, become a cosmetologist in Akron,
right.
Do all those things and bring it back here home.
Well, you can even take it further than that and put some of these kids in nonprofits.
Absolutely.
And have them helping, you know, clean up neighborhoods with community gardens, interning with, you know, at the media center at the library, I've brought in high school students as interns. And try to help these budding filmmakers, you know, get some real world experience. And the service learning model, I think, is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that could really benefit as well and kind of help them get a more well-rounded.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that reminds me, the other thing I saw, so after my tour, and they took me all over the school, and it was awesome. At least for me, I mean, I'm sure they were like, who the heck is this guy? And, you know, I was like, I can't believe you guys are here painting this wall. This is so cool. You know, this is awesome. They were like, oh, well, yeah, you know, it looked really bad, so we're just happy that we don't have to look at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we went back to this classroom, and I got introduced to three more students who were there during the summer, and they were designing a public garden that they were going to install at, I think, a local elementary school, and don't quote me on it, I'm not sure, but there was one guy who wanted to open a landscaping company after he graduated, so he was picking all the plants and kind of designing where they were going to go and, you know, how it was going to look when it was done. There was a guy who wanted to be an artist, so they incorporated a mural into this thing, and he was going to design the art to kind of weave into the kind of plants that the other guy was going to plant. And then the third guy was keeping track of the budget. All he knew was he wanted to go into business, or he wanted to go to business school or something like that. So he was keeping track of all the finances, making sure that they were on budget and everything like that. There are so many opportunities to get people plugged into this community.
See, I feel like when I was in high school, I did not have these opportunities, and I probably would have been a different person if I were given these connections that early on. But I think this builds a sense of ownership with these young people to Akron and to the community, and might make them more inclined to stay after they graduate, because they already have some sort of stake in the neighborhood, skin in the game, as they say. You know, I eventually did do work in Akron, but I think it was a roundabout thing. You know, it took me probably longer than it would have if I would have been engaged earlier on when I went to high school and or college here.
Right.
So,
you know, another thing I want to say is, even if whether people are installing a public garden or they are taking on a project like painting the hallways of a high school, or they are, you know, out in the community learning how to start install a mural like we did with Love the Wall or something like that. These are entrepreneurial skills. I think that it directly translates into, you know, what people are going to need to do in the 21st century economy, where there's going to be more contract work. There's, you know, people are going to be switching jobs every 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be taking on more project-based employment opportunities. I mean, it's just this is how to educate people in the 21st century. I really think that we're tackling so many issues while at the same time making the community a better place to live.
I agree. I think it'll take much more savvy to survive in the workplace as the years go on. Mm-hmm. You know, more competition, more global competition.
Right.
You know, as the economy takes different twists and turns. So, yeah, absolutely right. I think it's going to take a lot of entrepreneurial skills and wherewithal to kind of set themselves apart from the others. I wanted to ask another question. I know we talked about your ancestry and your first generation Akronite. And I wanted to ask you what you think about our current refugee immigrant community in North Hill, which is really growing in such a fantastic way. And I know, you know, full disclosure for the Akronists, we do a lot of coverage of that community because I believe it's a real important social issue at the moment. I just want to know if you wanted to talk about how that might parallel your experience.
I think we have so much to gain from welcoming these people into the community wholeheartedly, to embracing the cultural differences, whether that be through the arts or through business or whatever. I'm sure you went to Better Block. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some of that going on there. I think we have so much to gain from this. I mean, if you, just from a paper standpoint, clearly the population of this city would be shrinking, if not for the influx of this refugee population into Akron, and otherwise immigrant population in Akron. That's an enormous gift to us as well, okay? Just on its own. But there are also all of these cultural intricacies that we can only gain things from. So my precinct here is, and we're not actually that far away from North Hill, right over where Musical is, but there's an elementary school called Findlay CLC, and that is the most diverse school in the Akron Public Schools, and it's because of that refugee population. I think that is awesome. I think that's
awesome.
I agree.
They're creating jobs here. They're opening restaurants. They're opening small businesses. You know, and it really bothers me some of the stereotypes out there, and some of the derision that goes on with our refugee community. When in fact they're contributing more to the economy than a lot of American-born folks.
Absolutely.
And one thing I want to point out as well is, you know, Akronists included, there's a lot of coverage about the refugee stories and the camps and some of these hard luck stories, but we still have a lot of immigrants coming here.
Mm-hmm.
We still have a lot of people who are choosing to come here and aren't fleeing to come here through some emergency situation.
Absolutely.
And so, and I know that's where our whole country, you know, blossomed from, were immigrants and people just that didn't have much but built up their own little castles and their own little plot in the sand.
Yeah, I think it's so cool. I really agree.
Well, folks, we are getting to the end of our time here. But one thing I want to go back and touch on real fast. This is an issue that I think is really important. It's one thing. We talked about it before. It's making the arts just as important as the standardized tests in schools and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of wondering, like, what do you think is the first step to trying to get people to understand that that is the way that we should go? Making music and drama and theater and all that kind of stuff, you know, that actually really can prepare you more for life than a lot of, you know, people, a lot of the students that, you know, like I said, being most recently out of high school, people, the standardized tests in high school are not what they should be, I don't think. And I think a lot of people agree with that. But I'm just kind of wondering, like, what do you think is one of the first steps to moving more in the direction of the arts than the standardized tests and everything?
I think we just need to showcase it. I think we need to imagine what it would be like. I mean, I think I've already talked about this, but for, like, I played an instrument in high school. I was a trumpet player. I was actually almost a jazz major.
Really?
When I started college. So I loved it. It was like a defining experience for me in my most formative years. Imagine what it would be like to have somebody from the Akron Public Schools who played an instrument go and play at a place like at the Akron... Well, there's a dog in here.
Hello, dog.
For our listeners.
It's our special guest. Yeah. We're saving this for the end of the podcast.
There's no owner, so he's... That's right.
Anyway.
He's the special guest.
Yeah.
So imagine what it would be like for somebody playing an instrument at the Akron Public Schools to get to perform at a place like Lock 3 or at the Akron Civic Theater. Imagine what it would be like for a drama student to get to perform at the Actors Summit, or for somebody, a fine arts student, a sculptor, painter, photographer, to know that they could exhibit their art every month on a dedicated stop on the Akron Art Walk, just because they went to the Akron Public Schools. Not only is that good for the students, but it's also good for the rest of the community. What if we had a concert band mm-hmm. come and perform for free at Lock 3 as part of the school's concert series that they have every year?
Right.
We're just having it out in the community. I think, you know, certainly empirical evidence shows. There's enough empirical evidence out there that shows that an education rich in the arts, rich in liberal arts, rich in culture, fine arts,
mm-hmm.
It totally enhances creative thinking, critical thinking. It better prepares people for the challenges that they're going to face when they graduate. But I think, you know, and I think we need to keep talking about that. But I also think we really just need to plug people in so that the community sees what an asset this is. And go from there. You know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm 100% behind you on that. I think I can say or speak for all of us when I say that. So anyway, getting back to the end, Pete, we really want to thank you for being here today. This was an awesome interview, and we're really happy.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Pete, and thanks for bearing with our first show.
Yeah,
two of us, because
definitely
we usually have Ryan's energy level to kind of keep everybody in a certain place.
But I hope we lived up to it.
Yeah, I think we hung in there, all right. what do you think, Ryan?
He's not over there sitting on his hands.
So I think it was a great episode. I think you guys did good. I think Pete was an amazing guest.
Oh, come on.
One of the best.
Really, guys.
I think we should give him a round of applause.
Let's
give
Pete a hand.
Where's that dog? Where's that dog?
Thank
For
you.
Sure.
Thank you.
But let's talk about some Akron events at the end, right?
Yeah, let's do some recommendations, and maybe I'll play a little background music. And Ryan, do you want to chime in on some of these?
Yeah, I got a couple events. Pete, make sure if you have any to bring them up as well.
Okay. Well, let's start with... this past weekend was the Hamburger Festival. If you missed it, it was really good. Make sure you come out next year. What do we have, Ryan? Menchie's and
I had one from Stray Dogs. And
yeah, Stray Dog
is just awesome. I love that guy.
What
we
was
had
that
another
place?
One.
It was from Youngstown. It was someplace from Youngstown.
It was. I had a Maui Wowie burger. It was okay.
Yeah, I had a.
It was really spicy.
Mine was like grilled cheese or something burger. Anyway, that was last weekend. Coming up for you guys, we got. Don't forget the Goosetown Devil's Milk Trilogy by J.T. Buck is this weekend, and that's at the Center for Applied Theater. Let's make sure we're always using our hashtag SpoilsOfAkron if you're talking about us, if you see us out. That's our new hashtag, so make sure we use that. Creative Cog is tomorrow. If by the time you hear this, it'll be too late to get tickets, but I think they're planning on doing more of those in the future, so look out for that.
It's a monthly series.
Yeah, so look out for that.
I'll be there.
Will you?
Oh,
Pete's going to be there. It's going to be a good time.
Featuring another former guest of
Chris
the show.
Horn.
Yeah, Chris Horn's going to be there. Yeah, he's is it like a panel sort of thing? Is that kind
no,
of...
No, yeah, I think
it's
just
talking,
him.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to Caitlin Gaynor too for putting that on, because she
is a great advocate
for the arts in this area. And
Cool.
Apparently, that's someone else we need to meet.
Yeah, Caitlin
everyone
Gaynor.
Keeps telling
write
me that.
Down.
You should definitely have her on, man.
Yeah, we will.
All right, so Chris, you had an event that was this weekend, Flare Fest, that you wanted to talk
about.
Sure.
Well, it's not my event, but yeah, it is an annual event that actually started, I think, last year because of the gay games, but. This particular Flare Fest, because of the Supreme Court ruling, is going to be a mass gay wedding on, I think, Saturday of the weekend, which I think is really cool.
Really?
I mean,
all
the people who had to go to other states to get married can now be legit here in Akron, Ohio.
Do you know where they're going to do it at Lock 3 as well?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
That's awesome.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Info right here, everybody. That is August 15th and 14th from 11 a.m., it doesn't give a date on that. Oh, it says 24 hour. Is it 24 hours?
Apparently.
Oh, wow.
So it's just throughout the day they're going
to
just
It's from 11 a.m.
Okay.
to on August 14th to August 15th at 11 p.m. Wait, that's longer, isn't that longer?
Well, Flare Fest is actually just an outdoor festival. I think this goes on the whole weekend. There are going to be vendors, musicians.
But that's at Lock 3, and that is this weekend. Another one that we wanted to talk about was the Performer's Toolbox. That is for Porch Rocker. Chris, anything you want to say about this one? One's going on. I know Benjamin Rex Road invited me to this one.
Sure. Our partners in crime, Wandering Aesthetics, who we do a lot of work with, they're actually giving a workshop. And Pete, you'd appreciate this. giving stage presence tips to some of the musicians and performers who are going to be at Porch Rocker. So they're going to prime them and get them ready for the stage. And, you know, they it's free, right? These guys do so much work, and they barely charge admission to their events. They don't charge for their classes. I mean, they're just generous guys who just love sharing this information.
That's awesome.
Kyle Joseph, master storyteller. Benjamin Rex Road. So yeah, they're a great group, and I definitely recommend, even if you're not performing, just to go out, and you could probably learn some public speaking tips, and you know,
sure,
how to make a toast. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think anybody can get a lot out of that.
Yeah, but that one is this Saturday, from at 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and it is at None Too Fragile Theater, which is connected to Pub Rico. If you've been to any of their Electric Pressure Cooker open mics, it's the same place. It's a great space, great venue, and yeah, make sure you go and check those ones out.
That's this Saturday, and then next Saturday will be the last one.
Well,
it'll be right into Porch Rocker,
right? Which Porch Rocker is the 29th. Which, if you don't know about Porch Rocker, then we're gonna lay it down for you real quick. Porch Rocker is this amazing event that goes on over in Highland Square. That they close down like 4 or 5 roads, and they put a band on like every other porch, and it's just this great, like, and Pete, like you were saying, it's just this great, like, cultural, like, mm-hmm. you got music and vendors and art and all this. Have you ever performed and or been there before?
Been there, have not performed at Porch Rocker. Sorry.
You know, I know the people in charge. I'm sure I could get you a spot there.
You know, I haven't performed in a little bit. No. Other than to my cat and my wife.
How cool would it be to just pull out your Jaguar? You still have the Jaguar? I saw your pictures of it.
Yeah,
during one of your campaign speeches and just tear up a solo.
We're heading in that direction.
That'd be awesome.
But that is on August 29th, and I'm pretty sure I was looking for the just to make sure I could find the time on here, but oh, okay, here it is. It is August 29th at 10 a.m. I have no idea when it ends.
I think it ends at 10 p.m.
Okay, but I mean, that's just, I'm going to be there. I don't know if I'm performing yet. They're still giving me maybe a spot or net, but spot or not. But, I mean, just so many amazing artists and musicians are going to be there. It's going to be
a fun
time.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome time. Mm-hmm. A couple more events we got for you is the Next Generation Players are putting on the Ups and Downs of Rolling Hills this weekend. It's our opening weekend, and that's our last weekend, so make sure you come out and see us. Ryan's Woo! In it. I'm directing it. What's that date? The 14th, 15th, and 16th. The 14th at 7, 2 and 7 on the 15th, and 7 on Sunday the 16th.
Yep.
The other show this weekend, Antic is putting on Actors in Theater in Cuyahoga Falls. Mm-hmm. That's Night of the Living Dead.
If you know Copper Pennies, our bass player, Mr. Downtown Mark Brown, is in that show. And if you know anything about A Night of the Living Dead, he may not make it to the end if you know anything about that movie. That movie's about zombies, and I think everybody
knows. Well, that's Friday and Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what that is? At 7, I think, is when they put that on. And that's at... what's that place called?
The Court Cultural Center.
And Next Gen Show is at the Community Center in Norton.
One other event that's going on this weekend that I was going to be a part of, but sadly, because we have our show, I wasn't able to. But Bark Jam, which happens at the Redstone Pub over on Talmadge Avenue. It's a charity fundraiser jam night that it's run by John Markovich and Becky Plush and a bunch of the other people over there at Bark. It's to help the dog parks here in Akron, and it's to raise money for their, you know, their expenses and all that. But I mean, it's a fun time. We performed there last year, but it's just a great time, and what a loving crowd! It was one of our first gigs outside of like playing at the open mics, and they were just awesome. They loved us.
Yeah. One final event I think to share for you is the Spoils of Akron Live, September 13th. That's going to be our animal show. We're really excited working with Possibilities and the
Great Akron Zoo.
The Akron Zoo. The Possibilities is the Humane Society. And we're really looking forward to that. Next week we'll have way more information on that. We're meeting tomorrow to kind of figure out some more. So then we'll have that for you.
But just to make sure, Cody, that's a free event.
Yes,
guys.
Free. So come out. Come on. Hang out with us. We have a good time. It's at Musica, 6 to 9 p.m. on September 13th. That's Sunday. I'm sure you don't have anything else going on. Come out and see us. Have a good
Pete,
time.
Anything else you want to say before we sign off?
I just want to say hi to my wife, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
So, as always, we work in partnership with the Akron Digital Media Center and the Akronist with our own Chris Miller. Ryan, what else?
Let me turn my mic back on. Yeah. The Spoils of Akron is proud to also work in partnership with the Akron Library and Musica. Usually we record in one of these two fantastic locations. We also work in partnership with, as you previously mentioned, the Akron Digital Media Center. Our very own Chris Miller usually runs the ones and twos, but today I had the pleasure of learning it.
We switched places.
I know, I know. But if you are on Facebook or any other social media, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Spoils of Akron.
At Spoils of Akron.
Mm-hmm. As always, you guys, we all know the catchphrase.
Yeah. As always, have an Akron day.
Keep it an Akron
day. Keep it an Akron day. Liz didn't talk after this one, so I got confused.
Cody.